Welcome. Hello, everybody. How are you today? Welcome to FCC. I just want to say thank you for being here because the rhythms of being at church every week are really important for our lives and following Christ. So thank you for doing that. If this is your first time here or if you've been coming for some time, I just want to welcome you, give you a warm welcome. This is so important. I also want to give an extra special thank you to you who have been inviting people to our services because you are part of how we're reaching hundreds and thousands to meet, know, and follow Jesus. So before we dive into today's message, let's pray together. Let's bow our heads. Father, we are so thankful that we actually get to know who you are. We want to acknowledge that you are worth our every attention. But we also acknowledge that we are easily distracted. So we pray, help us not to waste these moments. And I ask you to enter into our everyday life here and now. We're grateful for you. We're grateful that you hear us. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you would meet us. All God's people said, amen. Well, my name is Kevin Christopher, and I serve here at FCC as the worship director, and I'm really looking forward to sharing this passage with you. So let's dive in. You can even either follow along on the screens overhead, or you can reach under the chairs in front of you, and there's a Bible there. You can turn to page 573. Well, today's passage is actually a really popular passage that is often read at Christmas time. And if you're familiar with a piece of music called Handel's Messiah, you might notice some of these phrases. They're the same ones. So let's jump in. Isaiah chapter 9. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy of the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be found and burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, on January 17th, 1991, I was 10 years old. I got home after a long day in fourth grade. And in those days, I didn't have much homework, so I knew if I ran home really quick, I could catch my favorite cartoon called Darkwing Duck. Anyone? Darkwing Duck? Yeah. On that particular day, I recognized right away that this day was going to be different. Because instead of cartoons, I turned on the TV, and up in the right-hand corner, it said, live. The image was mostly a dark, hazy landscape with some flickering lights in the landscape. But more than the darkness on the screen, I remember the sounds. I can still hear those shouts and those screams. I can still hear the sounds of machine guns and bombs. I was afraid, and I was frozen in front of the TV. And my 10-year-old mind was like I was right there in Kuwait and Baghdad as the air war of Desert Storm began. The air war was thousands of miles away, but it felt like I was right there. And suddenly it seemed like the world was a much darker place than it was a few minutes ago. I felt sick to my stomach, and I just wondered, is the world a safe place anymore? Now, as a husband and father, as I look into the faces of my wife and children, the prospect of war just seems so disheartening. And some of you are no strangers to war. You've seen it. and you know how grim it is. Well, the people of Israel were no strangers to war. In this passage, we read about the northern kingdom of Israel and how it was war-torn. They were experiencing the occupation and attacks of a kingdom called Assyria. And so they were really dark times. And just for context, in these times in Israel, God would send prophets to send his word to his people. And sometimes he'd bring good news, and other times he would bring news that was a little bit hard to swallow. So right before this passage, in the midst of this war-torn occupation, in chapter 8, Isaiah was giving some words from God that were hard to swallow. You see, the people of Israel were seeking after, in these hard times, fortune tellers, and they were speaking to spirits and seeking wisdom from them. And Isaiah says, "Should not a people inquire of their God? Not the instruction of spirits?" They were definitely dark times. But the chapter 9, God, through Isaiah, then speaks some good news. He says, "There will be no more gloom for Israel, who is in anguish." God speaks to this war-torn region. He says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone." And this was hopeful for them. But not only was this good news for Israel, it's good news to us right now. This is a theme throughout the Bible. And it's God's word to you today, that though this darkness, whatever you're facing, may last for a while, and for some of you, it's lasted for a really long while. God wants to encourage you, and he wants to tell you that this darkness will not last forever. He says, "I will send my light to show you that I am with you. My light will be a weapon that you will use against the darkness that you face." So friends, let's put some flesh to this. Let's get real for a moment. You might not experience the kind of war with bombs and guns, but many of you fight very real battles. You have real feelings of pain and despair. You have real experiences of hopelessness. There's many of you who have been touched by the death of a child, by a divorce, by a betrayal. Maybe you're trapped in an endless cycle of anxiety. You come home every day and there's just nothing there. You want to connect with your family. You're there, but you're not really there. You're unavailable. And you come home and you just scroll through your phone. That's some of us here. Maybe you're someone who has a loved one who is claimed by cancer. Maybe you're trapped in an endless cycle of addiction, and it's causing harm to yourself and others. And maybe you're someone who's been abused, and you just don't know if you want to live anymore. As you can see, the kingdom of darkness can take so many forms in our lives. And the good news of this passage is that the darkness will not last forever. Do you long for peace in these battles that you fight every day? And do you long for peace for those members of our society who have it even worse than we do, who couldn't even make it to a service like this if they tried? Don't we all just want peace in our lives? We usually settle for an inferior peace, though. We find ways to cover up the pain. But when you hear the good news of this passage, that the light could shine into your life in a very real way, that the darkness would just flee away, doesn't that give you a lift? Doesn't that give you a sigh of relief and make you say, "I want a peace like that, a real peace"? Well, this is one of the great things about Christmas time. We get to talk about this great light that came to make the darkness flee. And spoiler alert, the great light is Jesus. He came into this world, and for many of us, especially when we were growing up, Christmas time was so full of wonder and joy. It's the lights, the stories, the food, the family. That time, the time we like to think about the kind of world that God promised us. But we don't want to stop at merely good feelings about peace, right? We want to actually experience peace. And don't you long for a day when we're not just thinking about it? I do. I long for that day. The good news is that God, that day can actually be right here, right now, because of what Jesus has done. But you might be wondering, if Jesus came, and if he's beaten darkness and death, why aren't we fully experiencing peace right here, right now? Well, let me ask you, why don't you rescue your kids every time they're in trouble? Why not just make it so they never fall down, never face ridicule of others? We can all give a quick answer why it's not a good idea to give children everything they need when they're in trouble. So why don't we understand this about our Heavenly Father? You may ask, why doesn't God just zap us and give us peace? Why doesn't he just give it to us? God, why don't you take away the sickness from my dying mother? Why don't you restore my marriage? The fighting is getting worse, and I don't know if I can take it anymore. But just like a young child has no understanding about why they can't have exactly what they want, God walks with us through it all. With all the snow flying recently, I'm reminded of being a kid, and after a big snow, my dad would snowblow the driveway, and there would be these huge mounds of snow compacted on the sides of the driveway. And that was perfect for burrowing and making tunnels and caves. Did anybody do that when they were young? Yeah. I loved it. And my favorite part was when the work was all done and we went into those tunnels, and I'd find one all by myself, and I'd lay down, and I'd look up at the crystal dome ahead of me, and I could see my breath into the air, and I just took a deep breath, and it was just like peace. I experienced peace in those moments, the silence and the beauty of those moments. But it didn't last long, because soon my brother would come and throw snow at me, and we'd have a big old snow fight. And isn't that the same in our lives now, that we build up these high towers? We try to avoid the pain. We try to avoid the darkness. And we create these towers so that we are safe in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the battle. We fight our own battles in life with self-help books, with TED Talks, training our bodies for maximum health, and we organize ourselves in this way because we want to stay safe. And we expect God to approach our battles the exact same way. We say, Lord, just keep us safe. It's important for us to accept that darkness, the darkness we see in our lives, is a means by which we can see our need for Jesus. So in a way, we need to embrace the darkness. Darkness is the truth of our condition without Christ, isn't it? Without Christ, we are in darkness. So without an acknowledgement of darkness in our lives, we can never properly really reach out to him, because basically we're saying, God, we're okay. I've made this fortress and I feel pretty safe. But how many of us believe that? Not many. Yes, you might come to church and talk about the light, or think about the light during the week. You might be teaching your children about the difference between light and darkness. But there are so many areas in our life that we hedge out and we don't allow God to shine the light. There's a war all around us, and we struggle with anxiety. And in the deep recesses of our heart and mind, we're always aware that there is actually a darkness that's tormenting us. We know it through pain. We know it through conflict with others. But God has good news for us, because peace comes when we bravely step out into the darkness and actually face into it, so that God's peace can shine through us. Think about it. If the lights were already on in a room, would you run and turn them on? No, they're already on. That would be silly. In the same way, Jesus came for the sick and the needy like you and me. He saw the truth that there was darkness and there was a light that needed to be turned on. Amen? He entered into our weakness, our darkness, not our strength. Well, I have three boys in my household. Three boys. And any of you who have multiple boys in your house, you know it is a constant wrestling match. There is always physical competition going on. If you leave them unattended, it will turn into boom, boom, boom. And this is a normal scene in my house. It'll be dinner time, and I'll be making dinner, just having fun. And downstairs, there will be my three boys. And I'll hear the energy level just kind of booming and bodies colliding. And I'm like, this is okay. This is healthy for them. And I will shout down little words of encouragement like, make sure you're being considerate of each other down there. And I'll keep going with my dinner. A few moments later, maybe 15 minutes later, they start arguing. And I think, it's okay that they are working this out. And I said, make sure you're being respectful. I really don't want to have to come down there. And then, 15 minutes later probably, I'll hear things like, ow, stop, that's my eyeball, or I hate you, or God, Dad, somebody just bit me. And that's usually the time where I'm like, okay, it's time to intervene. I sure hope that dinner doesn't overcook, because I hate that. I hate dry food. But there comes a time when, as a father, I need to go downstairs and I need to show my kids a better way to do things, how to resolve this conflict. And with Jesus, it's the exact same way. We were unable to solve our own problems, and so Jesus had to come down to us and help show us the way. Isaiah 9 shows us a picture of Jesus coming down like a mighty warrior, one who increases and multiplies a nation and increases its joy, one who breaks the rod of the oppressor and shows us a victorious field where all the remnants of war are being burned up in the fire. The image is powerful. It's a picture of Jesus coming to engage in a war with the darkness. He was the Messiah, and he was going to come and beat all the bad guys. But there was a problem, because the Messiah didn't quite look like we expected him to look. We expected a literal conquering king, one who would crush the Assyrians, one who in Jesus' time would overthrow the Romans. The disciples would travel around with him, and instead of conquering, he was a homeless man. Talking about the kingdom of God. He was talking about how we could shine the light into the world. And the disciples are going, okay, Jesus, when are you going to make your move? Because we're ready. We're ready to jump in for your kingdom. But you probably know how the story ends. Though the crowds praised him as Messiah at first, they quickly turned on him when they realized that he wasn't quite the Messiah they were looking for. They mocked him as king of the Jews, and they killed him for claiming to be God. But little did they know that as they killed him, they were actually providing the means for their own salvation. The very darkness that they were using to kill, he was using that death to redeem them. Isn't that beautiful? He was settling the score so that he could bring about his kingdom of peace. Listen, I really want us to recognize that Jesus is a conquering warrior. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. But we need to know that we don't really recognize him that way in our everyday life. We experience so much anxiety. We put up so many walls to protect ourselves. How could we believe it? But you still might be asking, why are there so many places in my life that I don't experience peace if I'm walking with Jesus? Let's take a moment and look at Jesus' example. He gives us an example that we can follow. So let's look at Matthew 8 and Mark 4. And this is the story when Jesus calmed a storm. So first of all, I just want to say, how amazing is it that Jesus actually calmed a storm? There was a storm raging, and he spoke to it, and he said, peace be still, and the storm was still. But another kind of head-scratching amazing part is that Jesus was asleep in the middle of this raging storm. That's almost a miracle in itself. How do you sleep during a storm like that? And this wasn't some mild passing thunder shower. This was a storm where the disciples were in real danger. You know, to the point where they were saying, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? So whether they were in actual danger or not, they believed strongly that, you know, this was it. Nice knowing you, Peter. Nice knowing you, John. This is how it's all going to go down. This is how it ends. Do you ever wonder if God cares when you're struggling and in pain? Well, let me tell you, in the middle of these wars and battles that you're fighting, God does care for you. Just like Jesus got up right when they were saying, Jesus, we are perishing. Jesus, he didn't say anything. He got up and spoke to the storm and calmed it. He cares about you. He cared about the disciples. But he cared even more. He cared enough to show them a better way, to show them how they could trust in the middle of the storm. Let me ask you a question. Which posture to you demonstrates more mastery over the storm? Is it that he calmed the wind and waves with his voice? Because that's pretty convincing, the authority that Jesus has to do that. But don't you think it's equally amazing that Jesus was so confident in his mastery over the storm that he could actually sleep in the face of mortal danger? We can all recognize his power to rebuke the storm, but I think there's something missing if we don't recognize how Jesus demonstrates his power and authority through rest and through trust. He was able to rest because he knew the authority that the Father had already given him over the storm. Jesus was already at peace with the storm before he even calmed it, before he spoke to the storm. For the battles we face, he's given us authority as well. Jesus is actually in your boat. He's got your back, and he's working all things for good on your behalf. And the battle is already won. You have to rest in that, like Jesus did. Trust in that, like he did. If we want to be the kind of people who shine a light into the darkness and bring peace to the world all around us, you have to see this. Jesus is calling us to something. He's calling us to actually engage with the darkness like he did. He stepped out and faced the storm. But in your life, that'll mean what it meant for him. It'll mean humiliation. It will involve you being wrong about the fact that you're in danger. And when you're in a battle with somebody else, it will involve praying for them. It will involve forgiving them like he did. Just because God won the battle for us doesn't mean he's not also training us to be warriors. Amen? He wants us to be fighters who push back the darkness. Think about it. God could take away the battle, zap you, and just give you the victory. But God chooses over and over and over again to walk through us in the battle. The task of bringing peace to your situation is way too big for you. I hate to bear the bad news. You're not strong enough to win this battle, and neither am I. Jesus still wants, even in the midst of that, Jesus wants to walk with you and stand by your side and fight with you. That's his way. That's the way he decided to do it. He wants to win the battle at your side, not for you. On the path to bringing peace in your life, I want to bring up two things that we can do, that we see illustrated in this passage. Number one, we need to choose to trust his finished peace. It's finished. His peace is complete already, if we could just trust. And number two, choose to face the darkness. Engage the battle like Jesus did. Speaking truth when it's unpopular, And spending time with the undesirables and the sinners, those who are facing darkness, you actually step into their lives. And these two elements work together in a dance. Which means when it's midnight and your teenager isn't home yet, it's time to trust. The end is decided. God has already taken care of your child, and you can rest in that. But this is where the balance comes in the dance. Because you're not just trusting in a way that's not engaging with the darkness. This dance requires you still call, still text your child. Your teenager still needs you. When they come home, you might still have to have a hard conversation. You don't throw the conversation away just because you're trusting that God's going to take care of them. You are a warrior that's engaging the darkness, amen? Do you realize that peace comes at a price? That stepping into the battle is costly. It was costly for Jesus. It cost him his life. So I want to close right now with a battle that I'm fighting. There's an elderly woman who's been a part of my life for the last 3 or 4 years. And I remember the first time I met her, I was here at church and I saw her coming from outside. And the church was locked down and there was no one around. But I saw her coming and she was coming quick and she was knocking on the door. She had a smile on her face, but it was bright, but she was also kind of frantic. And I was thinking, are you okay? Is everything all right? And I found out that's just kind of how she's wired. And so I let her in, and I found out that she needed help with something. And immediately, a battle started to go on inside of me. From the very beginning, I wanted to disengage from the relationship because it felt in some ways unhealthy or one-sided. She was crossing all kinds of unreasonable boundaries. But I decided from that very first meeting that more than I wanted to avoid the discomfort and the pain, I wanted to see God work in her life. And I wanted her to know who Jesus was. There were times when it felt too messy or too confusing or too time-consuming to let her into my life. And even as I helped her, there were times when she would treat me like an enemy. She would accuse me of hating her, of thinking she was worthless, even though that wasn't the case. But over these years, even in the midst of the discomfort, God gave the gift of seeing her through her eyes, seeing her through his eyes. And she was beautiful, beautiful in his sight. The things I saw in her were a sparkle in her eye and a smile. The ways that you knew that she cared for others and she cared for me. I learned over hundreds of conversations that this precious creation of God had experienced some of the worst things that life could throw at you. The kind of things that make your stomach churn. All kinds of abuse and neglect. In the past, her husband had regularly pounded his fists upon her body. She had been abandoned, disowned, beaten, and struck down. And she often felt like the leftovers of society that nobody wanted. Isaiah talks about a thick, deep darkness. Well, there have been a lot of dark things that were done to this woman over her years. Done to a woman who was made in God's image. And those things shaped her behaviors and have made her difficult to get along with at times. But when I look at her and hear her voice, my heart is moved to love. And that's a gift from God to move me from wanting to avoid, wanting to get back up in my tower to a place where I'm excited when she texts me. When she needs help, I'm excited to be able to share that light with her. I think a text that she sent me was especially meaningful because it was written during a time where she was texting me and she couldn't get out of bed. She was facing so much hopelessness. She wrote, "Bless your heart, Kevin. You have been my rock to help me get through. God bless you for helping me through so many obstacles that I've had to endure. I just want you to know, Kevin, that I was actually able to walk home today, and I even brought out my garbage. So God bless you and your family for walking with Jesus because it has given me hope to keep going forward. Bless you, Kevin, my friend. How are people going to know about this amazing kingdom of peace? Is it going to be just by us believing that God brings peace? No, it's not going to come that way. It comes when we are the physical representation of light in the world. When we can be bringers of his peace here and now. There's a kingdom of peace living in every single one of us who follow Jesus. He's our Prince of Peace. The only reason I'm standing right here, right now, is because I want you to know that kind of peace. I want you to know who Jesus is. And I wish I could just stay up here until I knew for sure that every single one of us had met Jesus today and knew that peace. Because there's nothing better. It's worth giving our whole life to help people know this man who can change everything in our lives. I'm going to have you remain seated during this next song. And my invitation to you is in your heart, in your mind. I want you to think of a specific battle in your life that you're facing. And I want you to ask God, how can I trust you in this battle? How can I get out of my tower and engage the darkness, trusting your peace all the while?